Out of Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
It was Halloween this weekend.
Oh, was it? I wouldn't know whether you're about for 5 million pieces of bodies that are refrigerated. Oh, my God. Hello, everyone. Welcome to week 8 of the NFL. Do you call it the 2021-2022 season? What do you call it? I've always wondered what you call it. I just call it the 21 season.
You know, in saying that, it does carry on into 22, but I think most people just refer to it as the 2021 season, because by the time we actually get to New Year's, the playoffs are here, and then, you know, because you don't call it, you know, say the grand final winner of, you know, 2022, it's Super Bowl 56 winner. Do you know
exactly
what I mean? Like,
right. Exactly right. Yeah.
So it's a little bit funky how they, you know, you call the NBA between 2 years, but the NFL, essentially by the time January comes around, it's playoff time.
It is. So we'll go through the scores for this week 8. First game was the Friday game extravaganza, I guess, if you want to look at it that, but the Cardinals finally got beaten by the Packers 24-21. Then we'll go to the Monday games. The Monday games were the Panthers beating the Falcons 19-13, the Bills beating the Dolphins 26-11,
I was watching the first half of that game.
The second half, it's like literally the Bills were literally asleep in the first half.
Yeah, that was a nightmare game to watch on TV.
The 49ers beat the Bears 33-22. The Steelers beat the Browns 15-10. The Eagles, keeping the Lions defeated, not undefeated, defeated, 0-8 start, 44-6. And that was the game that everyone thought that the Lions might win their first game. But, yeah, Eagles.
Including yours truly. But, no, I made that fatal mistake, and I shall not be picking the Detroit Lions again this year.
Unless you pick them to, you know, to be the team that's going to have the lowest win loss rate.
That's correct.
The Titans.
Just a tippers nightmare.
Oh, 100%.
This week.
Oh, 100%. But yeah, exactly. The Titans beat the Colts 34-31. The Jets beat the Bengals. You know, it's working a tipping nightmare. 34-31. And the Jets had nothing.
Say that one again. Who did we talk up last week?
The Bengals. So we clearly put a kibosh on them.
Clearly, 100% we did.
That game was a very interesting. The game to go over. The Rams beat the Texans 38-22. The Pats beat the Chargers 27-24. The Seahawks beat the Jags 31-7. The Broncos beat Washington 17-10. Your Saints beat the Bucks, 36-27.
Hey, look, man, regular season New Orleans against Tom Brady is just it's an unstoppable force.
Literally scared of the Saints,
as well he should be.
My Cowboys somehow beat the Vikings 20-16. They shouldn't have won that, but they won.
That was amazing.
And the Chiefs beat the Giants, and like really just, but yeah, they won 20-17. Let's start at the top of that extravaganza sort of first game, the Packers.
I'm going to be saying that a lot throughout this.
Some of the results. This one's easy.
Just how?
This one's easy. I could skip to the final play for Arizona, and for some reason, AJ Green was literally asleep, or just decided not to turn his back around. That's how the Packers won this game.
Did he not know that he was the intended receiver? He wasn't even looking.
Oh, he was not even looking. And the ball, literally, if he turned around literally 5 seconds earlier, that's Arizona Cardinals to stay undefeated. Literally. Because he had no one on him. He didn't have a hand on him. He had nothing on him.
No. So, he was just getting cooked as well on social media after that.
Oh, there was like things saying.
Everybody was just hammering him.
I seen one where he said he retired 5 seconds before he could.
Yeah, he retired. He retired midway through that route.
Yeah, exactly. It was the game itself was pretty even, like across the board. Like Arizona pretty much had to abandon the run game. Not that they really have a run game, but had to abandon the run game.
Not really, but it's not the worst run game that's out there at the moment. They've sort of shown that they can do it a little bit by committee as well with Connor and Chase Edmonds. But
exactly.
I think it's more the fact of Kyler Murray being contained, especially with the scramble. Do you know what I mean? Like his longest run was 9 yards, and that's just not him. He didn't even throw a touchdown. Two pretty bad picks.
Yeah.
One in the fourth quarter that was obviously a game killer, but how do you only get two targets to DeAndre Hopkins?
That's a little bit. This is the Green Bay defense. Like they're 7-1. It's easy to say Aaron Rodgers, but they're actually 7-1 because of their defense. It's not that like as look I'm not I mean obviously they got Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones and they will win you games of course.
Well, they didn't have their top two receivers in this game.
No, that's
and
exactly
they lost
right,
Robert Tonyan in this game as well to a season-ending ACL injury.
Their defense is severely underrated. We never talk about their defense. No one talks about their defense, but their defense keeps them in games. And like you just said, then contains Kyler Murray. Shuts down who they need to in DeAndre Hopkins and even AJ Green and the sorts. They really have a great defense.
Well, I wouldn't go overboard and say great defense, but I think it's solid enough for how they play, and it only needs to be sort of a mid to top defense because, like you said, you've got Aaron Rodgers there. You've got the offensive weapons that they do.
They do.
Obviously the wide receiver core there isn't as deep as some teams. But Aaron Rodgers made it work, and nothing sort of epitomized that more than that other photo that was circulating on social media with Aaron Rodgers and his helmet half off with just this stunned look on his face, and that would have been everybody's. If you glance over and have a look at, the score on this one, you're just like, okay, cool. Especially if you didn't really know, the background of what was happening here. You know, Arizona should have just cruised this game.
Yeah, they should have, and they had the better weapons. They have a great defense. It's just. Packers, I think, I don't know about you, but that first game that they lost, against your Saints, we sort of stopped talking about them, I guess. But we can't say we completely stopped talking about them, but they are, and this proves it, they are legitimate Super Bowl contenders because they've got a very well-balanced team. So and they proved it in here. They you just said it before. They had no Devontae Adams. I think they relied on Randall Cobb, which just to prove how
they relied on Randall Cobb in the red zone.
Well, that's true. They had no Lazard. Yeah, you're right. They really were short in this game, but they did what they needed to do to win. So they were good.
And that was it. Like, they bashed. They bashed Arizona up front, with Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Next game, the Panthers beating the Falcons. This was kind of, I'm just going to say it. It was a boring game. I'm not going to hide it. It was pretty boring.
Well, yeah, this is where the smelly games sort of begin, and which there was quite a number of them.
Yeah, there was a number of them.
Well, it just started off just in particularly poor fashion with the very first play that Carolina has is a Hubbard fumble recovered by Atlanta. You're just like, oh my god, like not again. Oh, are we going to get poor football here? You know, this is a divisional matchup, and it's like, are we really going to get poor quarterback play again? Or not so much quarterback play, but just poor football. And it was, man, that was tough to watch.
It was for both of them.
Both teams.
Sam Darnold was didn't get touched. His offensive line is great, but can't throw the ball accurately enough. He's clearly past that New York Jets phase of like, you know, if he gets something great offensive line in front of him like he has now, he could prove it. He's proven that he's not what I guess they thought he was when they drafted him that high. I'm sorry, but that's where I think of him now. Like, his offensive line's great. He hardly gets touched. That's why he can run those when he you know, did those running touchdowns. This offensive line is brilliant.
Even in this game, he scrambled for 66 yards as well. So,
that's what I mean. His offensive line is brilliant. He just is not accurate enough. And that's on the other side.
And he hasn't been accurate probably since week three. And I think, you know, once again, like let's not get too crazy here, but his receiver core there is not great. Again, I think it's better than what he's had previously with the Jets, but this receiving core is not very good by any stretch of the imagination.
Not good, but DJ Moore. Well, who did they let go? I'm trying to think. Robbie Anderson's just regressed like massively. That was, you know, I don't get one.
Well, this was sort of a prove it sort of deal for Robbie Anderson. He got not a lot of offers to start this year because he sort of backed himself to go in as a free agent, and it didn't, it backfired.
Yeah. But who did they let go to Washington? That's who they let go.
Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel, who was pretty good there last year.
Yeah.
As their wide receiver too. So you're right.
Well, we haven't seen him at all this year.
Well, that's exactly right. Their wide receiving corps is abominable. They just won this game, and that's honestly they won it on the back of kicking. On the other side, look, when I watch this game, I feel like from last year to this year, Matt Ryan has aged at least 10 years. This is the guy they kept calling Matty Ice. It's not Matty Ice anymore. He has aged terribly.
No, it's not Matty.
No, it's not Matty Ice at all.
The soul stealing by Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
No, that's exactly right. I'm not gonna say who they picked at number four. They got Kyle Pitts and that was a great pick. I don't think they should have taken a quarterback, so that was fine. But they're going to have to he's got another year. They're going to have to start delving deep in what they're going to do with that.
Well, and they've got Josh Rosen there on their roster as well as a backup. So I don't know why he sort of can't really get any reps. Not so much at all, but you know it's pretty for them to be 3-4. I think is quite startling.
Yeah.
For the way that they've sort of played this year, and you know Matt Ryan had his hand stood on, his non-throwing hand stood on, bleeding all over the place. I think that sort of affected him a little bit. And you know he was efficient, but the deep threat was just not there.
No, it wasn't there.
But Kyle Pitts has been terrific the last, two, 3 weeks. Like, terrific. Like I was saying, I gave him my start of the week last week, and he was just game. He was totally redundant this week.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was a poop vector game, just like this next one in the first half. The Bills beating the Dolphins 26-11. Divisional game and all. Bills, you know, won cleanly, but only in the second half. Well, really, technically in the fourth quarter. God damn, that first half was like, I nearly turned it off. Well, sorry.
It was a mess.
I couldn't say turn it off. This was a game that was that I'm glad that was on Red Zone, because I'm glad that it sort of got quickly skipped past. It was a mess.
Yeah, that's right.
What's going on with Miami?
Miami, they're an absolute debacle at the moment. Like I don't know what is happening there. Like Tua has just. This is such a poor situation for him at the moment. They looked so bad, especially in that first half in the red zone.
Yeah.
Just trying to think what the botch call was, where Miami sort of had them down. They had Buffalo down, and then they jump offside from the snap. I think Buffalo had a 4th and 4, and they jump offside off the snap, give them straight up a 1st and 10, and it's just like, oh my god, like you cannot be baited into something like that. It should have been a Buffalo turnover on downs. It didn't happen. The Dolphins in the red zone towards the end of the second quarter, it was just a simple motion by Gesicki going from the right hand side to the left. There's no call to snap the ball by Tua. The ball snapped and it bounces into Gesicki you can't time that any better.
Yeah.
He's running past and they snap the ball and it bounces off Gesicki and it's a turnover. It's just like, oh my god, what is happening there?
I don't know. I
Flores's head is on the chopping board.
I think so. I think it has to be.
He can't assemble a coaching staff at the moment.
Well, isn't one of them like a...
They've got two offensive coordinators.
That's what it was. Their run game's terrible.
Well, they can't. Absolutely, but Myles Gaskin can't find any space. They're trying to run Gaskin around people. Like, do you need to be able to try and free up space up the middle? Like, he's not the biggest dude going around.
No, but that's exactly right.
Everything is trying to get him out wide and trying to get him in space. They're not creating any good lanes for him to get any yards up the middle.
Once Buffalo woke up, they woke up. I mean, the run game wasn't that great. Josh Allen got enough yards, but that's about it. So they went to what Josh Allen can do very well now, and that was airing the ball out, and he did, especially to Cole Beasley, getting 110 yards.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mr. Ageless Cole Beasley.
Buffalo had 5 first downs in the whole first half. They had 10 first downs in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. They were literally asleep in that first half. It was weird. I mean, Josh Allen throwing 42 times as well was a bit concerning, but he didn't get touched at all. No one came near him.
No, Miami's defense is just not bothering people at all.
No. Yeah, I think he's one of the ones on the chopping block. I have to be. Especially for the fact of they're not going to have their first rounder next year. So
no.
They're going to have to really work out what they're going to do next year. It's going to be very concerning for them.
They're going to have to try and attract people down there through either free agency or trading some of the pieces that they do have now, because, like you said, they've got no draft picks.
And by
the looks of it this year, their first rounder is going to be extremely high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Eagles are going to have...
Philadelphia's got 3 picks in the top 15.
Yeah, could be top 10. Could be, which would be absolutely insane.
There's all this talk about that they could even take a quarterback. Why?
Who?
Give Philly, give Hurts something to throw. We'll get into that soon. Give Hurts a little bit extra to throw. Give him some protection.
Well, that's what I was about to say. There's so many offensive linemen in this draft and defensive players. You don't need a quarterback.
No, and Philadelphia's defensively are just they're an abomination.
Well, we'll move on to the next game. The Niners beating the Bears 33-22. This, for me, still proves that Jimmy G is reliable. They drafted Trey Lance, and that's fine. And then I'm glad they are going to actually sit him for the year by the looks of it. But Jimmy G is very, very reliable. And he's going to be very interesting. See, he's one that's could be dangled out there. Well, I don't know where his contract is, but he could be a nice little free agency next year for a certain team, like Miami.
I'm not sure if he's up for free agency. I think he's got one more year left.
Possible.
But the only problem with Garoppolo is injury. It's an array of things. It's not even just like one thing that just keeps popping up. It is. Yeah, it's just a lot of things that he deals with and that has. But his win percentage when he's there is staggering.
Yeah. Well,
they just keep unearthing these running backs there as well. Elijah Mitchell again for another week in a row was very, very efficient.
Yeah, I think I think Elijah Mitchell, you said unearthing, I think he's going to be their running back one. And he was drafted after Trey Sermon, of all people.
No, exactly.
You take away
your boy Debo, you take away the 83 yards, receiving attempt out of that. He's still on five receptions, still made 90 plus yards.
Correct. Debo is no one listened to me. I will say no one listened to me thinking that Debo was going to be good. I could see why everyone
thought Ayuk was going to be good.
That's right. You're right. Everyone thought Ayuk was going to be good, and I could see why everyone said that. But Debo is. Oh man, I love having it. That's the only reason I'm going okay in boom or bust for our fantasy league fort is because of him. That's the only reason.
Because of Debo.
That's the only reason I'll get some wins. So the Bears, it was okay. Again, Justin Fields getting sacked four times is a bit disconcerting. He's just
copping a beat. Even with his elusiveness, he's still. Cops are beating.
Well, see, and this is the thing. This is why they say the way the NFL is now with running quarterbacks and all that, like Kyler Murray, Justin Fields, and all that. Like, he got 103 in this as well. But I think this is just a personal thing. I don't think it's still good to draft ones that are that way, because they need to be accurate. Look at Tua as an example. All I'm getting at is it's okay to have a run game, and that's all good, but the run game's only going to last for so many years if you keep getting smashed.
It's the longevity.
You need to be exactly.
We'll find out, I guess, in the future how this sort of quarterback can survive in the NFL at the moment. Look, all the protections are out there to protect the quarterback these days. But as soon as they scramble out of the pocket, and they become a runner, it's a free for all. And we'll find out what the longevity of this type of quarterback is to how Lamar Jackson gets through the back end of his career, because he doesn't have the body. The first person you think of with one of those, especially recently, as those great running quarterbacks is Cam Newton, but mm-hmm. He is a big dude. He can absorb the hits because he's got a tight end frame on him. Like he's got a big frame in him. He was, I think, 255 pounds or something like that. He had a massive frame and took a lot of shots. And look where he is now. Like, he can't even get a job at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And so is Justin Fields. He's a big dude too, and can take shots.
I just don't think of, if you put those two side by side, I would definitely say that he's got more of a body type like Lamar Jackson. So, you know, obviously Kyler Murray is you know, what is he, 5'11", something like that. Oh, I think that could.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. See, Lamar at least for me can throw a ball fairly accurately. So
and Kyler Murray has been extraordinarily accurate this year.
Yeah, he has. He can scramble.
You're starting to see now, like Justin Fields is not super accurate at the moment. I think we sort of looked at statistical last week. Yeah. I think he's only 62%, which, okay, while that's still good for the league at the moment, like yeah, most guys are, and a few percentage points are all the difference. Like if he can push it up to 65-66%, yeah, look at Mac Jones. Mac Jones is close to 70%.
I liked Mac Jones.
That's how you've got to help these young quarterbacks out at the moment.
See, and that's why I think you know, we'll get to the Jags later. I've got no issue of how Trevor Lawrence is going to go because he's extremely accurate. He just needs time. The other ones, you know, like your Justin Fields and who else?
Trey Lance is very, very inefficient with the ball.
That's what I'm saying. They're the running ones. I don't know. I just, at the moment, obviously, Mac Jones falling at 15 is the better quarterback prospect at the moment. I think Trevor Lawrence
and Zach Wilson sort of proved that he's good in patches. Like he's had a really nice couple of second halves this year, albeit in garbage time. But you see some of the throws that he makes, and you're like, oh wow, all right, that looked quite nice. But yeah, so that these and that's everybody wants Patrick Mahomes at the moment. We want him to come in, boom, 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 sling the ball all over the place, throw off the back foot, throw off the wrong foot, throw left-handed backhand. So you know that's everybody is so impatient at the moment.
You're right.
They've seen it recently by a draft pick that was picked at the back end of the first round, or not so much the back end.
Mahomes.
Mahomes.
He was 12. Yeah, he wasn't like.
And and Andy Reid traded up to get him.
Correct.
But nobody's got any patience for it anymore. Justin Fields can do. Zach Wilson. I still stand by that Justin Fields I think will be the best quarterback out of this bunch.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I still think given.
Trevor Lawrence was just can't miss.
Yeah, and I still think he will. I only think he'll be the better one because of what I've seen in his college games. I think he is too can't miss. I think he's too accurate. I think he's got a great body frame. He can run.
Justin Fields, I still think will still have a good career trajectory. Where I'll stand by it. I still think the Jets missed it. Drafting Zach Wilson was just not the way to go. The 49ers taking Trey Lance was not the way to go.
I think Justin Fields
would have fitted so much better with the 49ers than what Trey Lance would.
The Zach Wilson one, to me, I know we're sort of digressing on this, but it's all good.
That's head scratch. That's total head scratch.
Well, but yeah, okay. But you also said before that he has patches of accuracy. So I don't mind that one. Compared to the Trey Lance one, that's more head scratching to me. That's way more.
That was a smokescreen, yeah, deception type. They should have taken Mac Jones. Everybody think that they were going to go Mac Jones,
they should have
went Mac Jones.
Next game, you know, speaking of quarterbacks, the Steelers won the slop first game 15-10. I've messaged to a certain Browns fan this. If they end up paying Baker over $30 million, they are in purgatory for 3 years. The Cleveland Browns.
I don't know what to make. Well, what sort of contract they're going to throw at him?
Well, that's why I looked at the contracts and the ones that are going, you know, the ones that are getting re-signed. You got big ones like Dak and that. He's not going to get that money, but the general ones now. Around sort of where he is, are getting $30 million. If he gets $30 million or above,
that's crazy.
He's going to ask for it, and if they do it,
of course he will.
They're going to be in massive purgatory. They don't. this is they don't have to re-sign him next year. This is he's still up for that fifth-year option, so they have time. But I wouldn't. I think he's winning on the back of their defense and their run game because it's not his arm.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, no, absolutely. But he does. And when you've got a team like that, he doesn't have to be great, but he needs to show more signs of becoming a better quarterback and not just being your big, you know, out there and being, you know, a rah-rah sort of, you know, everybody rally around me. I can get everybody motivated and pumped up. Yeah, no more than, you know, after he got sort of pushed out of bounds. I think it was in that fourth quarter on that final drive that that the Browns had in this game. And, you know, everybody sort of rushed over to him and went, oh, my God, he's been pushed out of bounds. There probably should have been a roughing the passer penalty. And then he jumps up and, you know, with his busted shoulder, jumps up and is jumping around and pumping his fist, and it's like, oh my God, like, wow, look at what Baker's done. And then like three plays later, he hits Jarvis Landry, and then the ball's fumbled, goes on the ground, and the Steelers get it, and the game's over.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's just plays, you know, guys, not guys like that, but just players like that are all about the hype factor. Let's get everybody hyped up. Yeah, let's rah-rah, let's all rally behind me. And while he does need to keep that sort of motivation up, he just needs to not be bad. And you can win with a two-headed monster and a great defense. And the first team that comes to mind over the last few years are the Saints.
Yeah, you're right. And I understand
Noodle arm Breeze couldn't throw any more than 15, 20 yards down the field.
I understand
that. All he had
to
do was eliminate turnovers, and he didn't do that. You know, he was extremely accurate, dink and dunk. Yeah, they had Ingram and Kamara, and they had a phenomenal defense. And they were a shandy away for a couple of years making a Super Bowl.
The problem with it, but is that means they're going to have to pay him then, and they have to, what I'm getting at is if you're saying what you're saying is right, of course, you know, but then any quarterback can win it. So if you're saying what you're saying, I can win it with this two-headed
monster. Most quarterbacks can in the right situation.
That's right. So if they pay him over 30, they're absolutely ridiculous. The Steelers, I don't think we talk about this guy enough, but he. Najee Harris to me is surely on the way being offensive rookie of the year. Surely on the way. Their record probably needs to get better, but God damn, that guy's good.
In regards to those sort of awards, I don't think record's going to matter too much as long as he's putting up the numbers. It's I think, but at the moment it's between him and Mac Jones, and I think the Patriots haven't got the best record at the moment either. So, but Mac Jones has been, like we said, fairly efficient. Najee Harris is putting up crazy numbers, and it's a testament to how the coaching staff there at Pittsburgh are sort of going about what they're doing at the moment. Because, you know, obviously Big Ben is fairly limited with what he does at the moment. And I mean, the only thing you could sort of question with especially in this game with Pittsburgh's coaching was the decision for them to go for the pass for the end zone by Chris Boswell.
By Chris Boswell.
And then he absolutely just gets blasted. if that's Patrick Mahomes, if that's Tom Brady, is that a roughing the passer call?
Yes.
It's helmet to helmet contact. I get it. He's out of the pocket. He sort of rolled out to the left. It was insane. There was nobody open. Like, you draw up those kind of plays to get somebody open. Nobody was open. So what the hell?
Yeah.
The design of the play is to get somebody so unbelievably wide open that all the kicker has to do is just throw a simple pass to them. As he was scrambling out to the right, there's nobody there, and he has to try and throw it to Firemuth, who's got two people on him. and then he gets hammered.
Yeah, but it's sure, like
and
you said,
it's
probably...
And then he's gone for the game, and they have to continually take two-point attempts because they've got no kicker.
This, but yeah, well, that's true. But this, this is why I don't like the roughing the passer, because you're protecting quarterbacks, but no one else gets protected. You're right. That's a roughing the passer any day of the week.
I honestly do.
I agree.
If that's a starting quarterback,
is that a rough?
It's helmet to helmet contact.
Of course it is.
It's leaning forward
with
the helmet.
What's the difference? You're the one that's getting the ball. You should be roughing the passer. Doesn't matter if you're not the starting quarterback.
No, that's right. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying to you. If that's Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
if that's Kyler Murray.
If that's any of those two, that you get fined and you get roughing the passer. But anyway.
Oh, well, some of that's we've seen throughout this year some of the roughing the passer calls. Like, good God. All they do is hit them. But yeah, they run over the top. They run over the top of them after like a split second. Bang. The pass is gone. The pass rusher hits the quarterback. Oh, no. Nah, up goes the flag. It's a roughing the passer call. It's like, oh, get the F out of here. Come on.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. We'll keep going with the games. The Eagles demolished the Lions. Absolutely. 44-6. I mean, four rushing touchdowns. Their passing game in the Eagles is a bit perplexing. You know, your boy Devontae Smith is getting no looks at all. Absolutely.
Oh, he's killing me. He's killing me.
but, you know.
But what we're talking about before we come on here. Is that scheme, right? That scheme.
It has to be scheme. I mean, Jalen Hurts is getting in the pocket and running himself, but
he threw 14 times. You see, quarterbacks throw 14 times in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I don't get it.
It's just head scratching.
It's got to be scheme because.
And it's frustrating as hell because Devontae Smith is the Heisman winner.
Well, no, my thing with this team is
what I find
perplexing or pretty funny is that one, the wide receiver that they all wanted, and they said we needed to get him. But the other thing of like, what the hell's happened to Miles Sanders? Miles Sanders wasn't in this game, but he's been pretty much oblivion behind Kenneth Gainwell, and then again out of nowhere, Boston Scott. Like it's
no Boston Scott. He's been there for a couple of years now.
But
he's always been Mr. Reliable there as well too. Boston Scott. He was drafted by the Saints.
There you go.
He was like a backup to a backup to a backup on the Saints for a couple of years, and then Philadelphia sort of picked him up, and he's basically had that same role. But he's had some games where he has come out and started and looked okay. But like you said, Miles Sanders has just been. All of his touch, not so much all of his touches, because I think a lot of these runs by Jalen Hurts are planned. A lot of the scramble is planned. Not all of them. And Jalen Hurts has got a set of legs to be able to get away from the pressure, because he has to, because his offensive line is just trash. And it just takes away. Once you start doing that, and once he tucks the ball underneath the arm, you limit yourself offensively, especially if you can't stretch the ball down the field.
Yeah, you are right. They clearly offensively scheme this, and that's fine because that's what they've got in Jalen Hurts. But why then draft a high draft pick in Devontae Smith if that's the case? Why?
Exactly. That they've just gone, okay, well, yeah, we're taking this guy high. We've obviously got a high grade on him, and in this game they rush the ball for 46 attempts.
Yeah.
Against Detroit, against a secondary that's not very good.
Yep.
I don't know why they couldn't take advantage. They've obviously it was either one way or the other. We're going to take advantage of them in the run game, and we're just going to just stop them out of this game with the run and control the clock, or we can sort of can we get Jalen Hurts a little bit of confidence in the passing game against a terrible defense like Detroit is. Like, I think that's a better way to go. You need to get him some confidence in what he does offensively with his arm and not with his legs, because we all know that he's a good runner of the ball. He doesn't need that. He needs confidence in saying that, yes, I can be efficient, I can hit guys down the field, and this was the perfect game to do that, and they didn't do it.
Next game, the Titans beating the Indianapolis Colts in OT, obviously, 34-31. The Colts started so hot in this game with those red two hot. Sort of quick touchdowns. Red hot. They're an underrated team. I know they're 3-5, but I still feel like they're an underrated team. This was obviously a divisional game, but they have a sneaky chance to me of still getting a possible wild card position. I don't hate them is what I'm getting at. Not when you've got Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr.
It's a two horse race in the AFC South between these two. And like I said, they don't install you with the greatest of confidence at 3-5, but like we outlined it at the start of the year. They had a brutal start to the year.
They did.
They've come away with some good wins this year, and they've had some pretty heartbreaking losses as well. So I don't think that they're completely done. Carson Wentz is starting to get some nice protection up front. Jonathan Taylor's been on fire. It took him a couple of weeks to sort of get into the season. He wasn't very good to start off. I think he missed the first couple of games as well. And Pittman, same with Pittman. In the absence of T.Y. Hilton, like he is a major shining light for them in that receiver core once again, which once you have Pittman and T.Y. Hilton, the drop off is quite severe.
It is. And that's probably their biggest problem. On the other side, biggest news coming out of this game was Derrick Henry going down. He didn't really go down, but
that's the crazy thing about it. After their first series, he was seen on the sideline, boot off, leg in the air, going, "Oh, this could be bad." And then he goes back out there and rushes another 28.
Yeah, for only 68 yards, which isn't really good for Derrick Henry, even though that's pretty good in general.
That's the thing with this Colts defense is they are huge up front. Their defense they've got some monsters.
I love their defense.
If you're Tennessee, that's the kind of defense you don't want to see.
Yeah.
And that was clear.
Oh, DeForest Buckner.
Yeah, averaging less than 2.5 yards per carry.
Yeah, DeForest
bottling him up is the way to defeat Tennessee, and make Ryan Tannehill do it himself,
which he did.
And that's right. And it's, I mean, he found his boy AJ Brown.
Finally, he finally. I've been waiting for this because I've got him in a lot of leagues, and I've been waiting for him to have a breakout game, and he finally had a big game in 155 yards and a TD, and nearly had a clean set of 11 targets, 10 of 11. So. Look, they're 6-2.
Tennessee love themselves some overtime.
Well, that was the next thing I was about to say. They're 6-2, and they probably could be 4-4 possibly. You're right.
Well, that's right. They could be 4-4. They could even be the same as what the Colts are at the moment. Like they've won those close games, and the Colts have sort of lost those close games.
It'll be just
interesting. Even though they beat Baltimore a couple of weeks ago on Monday Night Football, which was just one of the craziest fourth quarters that you'll see. But that race there is not over by any stretch of the imagination. And the Indianapolis are actually starting to they're getting healthy defensively. They've lost Quentin Nelson again, so that's not going to help them up front. Offensively, but you've still got all your defensively. That's what's going. If they can keep creating turnovers, then they'll still do nicely.
And obviously now they're going to be without Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans. If so, it'll be interesting to see how they come up against Rams this week.
That's a huge blow to lose Henry for. Possibly the season, but best case scenario, they're saying sort of 6 to 10 weeks.
What's perplexing with, he's down. The dude's nearly, he's got 937 yards through 8 games. So he's nearly hit 1,000 already.
And the next, I think the next best is Nick Chubb, and he's like 300 yards behind him.
Oh my God. We'll move on to the most perplexing game of the week, and that was the Jets beating the Bengals, with Mr. Nobody heard of, well, I suppose depending on who you talk to, no one heard of Mike White just bawling out, having a massive game, but beating the Bengals 34-31.
So I guess you can sort of, I've heard a few things about this game and what Mike White did in having just the absolute game of his life. I guess especially if you look at the box score statistically, when the numbers jump off the page, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
The two interceptions, they jump off the page as well. But it's 405 yards.
Yeah. It wasn't even that. So what he did that I noticed is that he just, for some reason, compared to Zach, and probably because Zach's a rookie, and I don't even know what this is. Well, this is Mike White's first game, technically, wasn't it? First full game.
This was his first start.
He installed confidence, for starters, and had so much energy on the field. Just, he was like a hype man on the field. He was good. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like he went, obviously it's his first game, and he was a fifth rounder picked by Dallas, mind you, back
in by the Cowboys. That's right. He couldn't beat out Cooper Rush.
No, he couldn't. But he just had that. He didn't have a swagger or anything like that. He just had that, like, I'm gonna put this team on me. I know we can beat the Bengals, and we shouldn't have talked out the Bengals, but he was just hyping them up. And, young team, he said, we can do this, boys. And you're right. He did get sacked a couple of times and threw two interceptions. But 400 yards by a guy that for a first start is nothing to sneeze at. That is absolutely awesome what he did.
That's absolutely awesome. He's the second.
And he shared the world.
Quarterback in NFL history in his first start to throw for over 400 yards. The other one is Cam Newton.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why they've already put his helmet and his, the jersey and the ball in that Hall of Fame sort of thing already. He's already got
straight
that.
Up.
It's awesome.
Straight up.
Look, the Bengals, to me, I don't know. They sort of, I don't know what happened. They were cruising right up until that fourth quarter. And this is where the Mike White hype train happened, in that sort of fourth quarter. I don't know. It's not like they fell asleep, but their defense, who's been great all year, and we talked up again. Let's just not talk up anybody anymore. Cowboys.
The Bengals are gonna bangle.
They're gonna bangle, but I'm not gonna not rule them out. I still think they're doing pretty
well. Absolutely not. But that's just the ultimate high from the week before, and a lot of people sort of talking them up as being, one of the better teams, if not the best team in the AFC at the moment. Them just totally coming crashing down to earth after being beat by the freaking Jets.
The Jets did what that most people should have been doing at the start of the year. And when I watched this, they contained Jamar Chase so well. Absolutely contained. I think it was more CJ Mosley. Just annoyed him.
But that's what he can do. He is CJ Mosley is one of the better defenders that's out there. When he's healthy.
Yeah,
look at, was it last not last year, the year before? And Mosley was in. He made plays in the first game, and the Jets nearly won it. And then he got hurt, and then all of a sudden the Jets defense just stunk, and he didn't play for most of the season. But since he's been back, like he's fairly reliable and can make plays defensively for him. And this is just one of those games where everything just culminates, and they get what they need against the good side to get the win. Like their two wins, the Jets' two wins this year are against two good teams in Tennessee and now Cincinnati.
Yep.
Like how? The Jets are awful. Awful.
But are they? We didn't say they were awful.
They are.
No, I don't think they're awful. I just think that they're very young and inexperienced. I think Detroit Lions are awful. If we're saying, using the word awful, I don't think the Jets are awful. I just think they're really young. CJ Mosley's the oldest player on that side, and he's 28.
I was about to 28. Say, was it 28, 29, thereabouts?
He's the oldest player on that side. So, well, they were great.
The metrics of it as well with Mike White, I get it, you know, he was averaging nine yards per completion, but it was still more of a dink and dunk. Like there wasn't a whole lot of yards through the air. A lot of this was yards after the catch.
Yeah, of course.
And that's what sort of boosted those sort of stats up a little bit. Like he's throwing a lot of under routes to wide receivers in that. So it was especially, you know, he got Carter and Ty Johnson finally and Jameson Crowder going in this game. Like they've got not the greatest serviceable receivers, but they're names that you sort of know, especially, you know, Keelan Cole, I think, got hosed on that touchdown catch that was taken away from him. Yeah. And we've said it before that the pursuit of perfection in the NFL is to its detriment sometimes.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. No, you're exactly right. Not much to say about the next game. Rant, you know, not skipping through some games, but we'll get through some games quick because there's a fair bit of news to get through. But the Rams beat the Texans 38-22.
Garbage time.
Oh my god, that's all that fourth quarter was. They were
total
cruising.
Garbage time. Good for fantasy managers if you've got some of the Houston Texans there and you sort of go, well, that sort of saved my Sunday. But and the funny thing was too, I'm pretty sure the spread on this game was like 15.5, and you would have totally been confident in the LA Rams covering at minus 15.5, and then that fourth quarter happened, you would have been filthy with that.
Well, 15.5, so they just would have covered that then, wouldn't they? 37.
Oh, must have been 16.5.
I thought it was 17. Anyway, but you would have been absolutely filthy. I thought it was 17.
Not 15, 16.5. I think 16.5.
Okay. But they just there. Yeah, they just went, well, we've won this game. Let's just start resting players because that's what they end up doing.
It was a Scott Van Pelt bad beat. Like that's what it was.
it was, you know, that's, there wasn't much in this game. LA did what they had to, put the foot off, literally off the gas in the fourth quarter, and Houston got garbage time. That's it. Literally.
And that's that's right. And then you can sort of make teams, you know, you could think, oh wow, you know, this was kind of a close game, and then you have a look at that fourth quarter, 22-0. You're just like even if you're the Rams, you'd be like, all right, we're a little bit disappointed in that fourth quarter. Like you're glad you got the win, and you know they're 7-1, haven't lost away this season as well, and looking, you know, ever more the Super Bowl contender, and we'll get to that, you know, after we've gone through the games, even more so now with, I think, a more feared defense than I think of all on the lines of Tampa, New Orleans at the moment, and Cleveland, and you can definitely put the Rams. I think the Rams have overtaken them with the trade that they made this week.
Oh, 100%. A team that's on a little bit of a skid, the Chargers losing to the Pats 27-24. I think the Pats won this game for me personally, by their defense again. This is why they nearly beat the Cowboys that last time, because their defense is a little bit underrated. But that's just not to say they shouldn't say they're underrated, because Belichick loves a great defense. But this is how I think.
Well, he knows how to get the best out of defensive players as well. And New England have got a pretty decent defense.
Yeah, well, they do, but that's what I'm saying. Like they won this game. The reason they won this game was purely on the back of defense, because, you know, all their points except for one TD went to Nick Folk. You know, he got four field goals and that extra point. So. That just shows you, that's what I mean. That's where the defense sort of put you. I mean, I never get the Pats receiving core, and you know, even in
it's
the,
junk.
Even the rushing
core. That's what it is. It's
and
junk.
The rushing core as well. Even the rushing core. I'm not the biggest.
Oh, look, I'll still love Damian Harris, even though he has those disaster plays every now and then where he fumbles the ball or gets it punched out at the 2 yard line. He's fairly solid. New England, I think, would rival New Orleans as one of the worst receiving cores that's out there at the moment.
Yeah, they do.
One team's making it work and the other team's not. But, you know, and the Pats at 4-4, let's say they're not making it work, but boy, they make Mac Jones the way that he's playing at the moment and with the efficiency that he's sort of throwing the ball, that makes him look even better.
Yeah, it does. No, it does. I think on the other
side...
Wheels
have fallen off for the last couple of weeks with the Chargers.
Yeah. Do you think with the other side with Herbert, he got sacked 3 times. I just don't know, even though 35 targets is a fair bit, I don't feel like he was accurate enough or probably could have thrown a little bit more instead of relying on the run game, as good as the run game was.
But when the run game's being stuffed as badly as what it was for LA, it sort of makes things hard. And look, you know, we sort of said it, with the game against Baltimore, that they looked fairly human. But when you turn the ball over, you can't get first downs, and you don't have the ball. And New England rushed the ball really well to control the clock. Then it makes it hard, you know, to every week Justin Herbert to be amazing and to have these amazing comebacks. And Mike Williams hasn't been good the last couple of weeks. You know, they're deep passing threats. So that's kind of, I think, whether that's the recipe for them sort of falling off the wagon a little bit as of late.
I think so. Yeah, I do. I really do. They're on a little bit of a skid that, you know, they're second now in the AFC West. I still think the Chiefs still statistically can win this division. That'll be
of course they can. Just have a look at what Green Bay's done. You know, after that demoralizing loss in Week 1 to the Saints,
they just peeled off seven in a row. A very interesting division, isn't it? Very interesting.
Absolutely. And like, look, the Chargers can't afford to let this slide continue. No. If they want to be a genuine, so not so much genuine Super Bowl contender, but just to get into the playoffs, because that division is still going to be quite hard. And when they start playing, you know, when they start getting into those divisional opponents with the Raiders, who we still don't know who they are, and obviously the Chiefs, if you're not right mentally, can still scare the living piss out of you. If you go into a game against them with that mindset, that's not good.
No, that's exactly right.
They need to get a little bit more confidence back, I think, LA, and I think they will. The wheels are a little bit wobbly at the moment with the two losses that they've had in the last couple of weeks.
Well, they got the Eagles coming up this week, so hopefully they should be able to, stop the 2-game skid that they have.
Well, they'll definitely have plenty of opportunities anyway.
Well, this is true.
You would think.
Geno beating the Jaguars 31-7.
Oh, Geno. Finally gets himself a win, which is just what the doctor ordered, I guess, for a Seahawks team. That is that the wheels aren't wobbly with the Seahawks. The wheels are just about falling off at the moment at 3-5. They absolutely needed to get this win. If they had to drop this game to Jacksonville,
it was a pitiful game.
Criticism,
anyway.
Man, they would have been just getting hammered.
It was a pretty pitiful game all round in this game. It was, you know, Lawrence threw 54 times, still only got 238 yards. Geno was fairly accurate, you know, no more so than to Tyler Lockett. Who smashed 142
yards. No, that's
right,
who's sort of come out of a slump a little bit. He hasn't been terrific as of late. No. Probably for the last month, I'd say, Tyler Lockett. And this was a good explosion for him.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was. Still couldn't get a touchdown. You know, DK got the two touchdowns.
Of course, it is. But the thing is, too, that there's no there's still no explosive play with Geno Smith there. Once again, yards through the air. We've seen it last week before with the game against the Saints where it was that 84-yard touchdown by DK Metcalf, and then the rest of the offense until like midway through the fourth quarter had a total of 83 passing yards. So it's a boom or bust, you know, type of game that they're playing at the moment. Like it's just this is just not to say that it's a game that they had to have, but it's a game they had to have. And I know it's against Jacksonville, but it's a game they had to have.
Yeah, they're totally gone.
Look, only four players, like so one dimensional. Only four players, four passes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, you're right.
That's how bad defensively Jacksonville is. Yeah. Like you can't just funnel, you know, 19 targets to two players.
It was another one of those, poop vector games, so to speak. Even this next one. I literally have nothing to talk about in this game. Washington losing to Denver 17-10. It's just, it was abominable. Literally.
If you didn't have to watch this game and, you know, be as highly prepared as what we are for this podcast, you wouldn't really have watched this game.
I watched it in Red Zone, and again, it was another one of those games where I'm glad that it sort of skipped over what it needed to skip over because there was nothing to watch in this game.
There wouldn't have been a whole lot of trips to the Red Zone.
Well, that's actually a good point. There was Melvin Gordon got two TDs, got a rushing TD and a receiving TD, was literally probably the highlight in this game. And
that's right. Look, you know, they're starting to get a little bit healthier receiver-wise. Jerry Jeudy's back. So that will help out. Boy, hasn't Noah Fant been just a total, just not so much afterthought, but I think a lot of people were sort of talking guys like him, Cole Kmet up as being those next good sort of young tight ends. And it's just not happening at the moment. Like there's nothing to be excited about in that young tight end, group. At the moment, especially with those guys coming into this season that were highly touted, and they've just fallen flat.
Well, he's now got COVID, so he has probably fallen flat a little bit. Literally, obviously. Their quarterback situation is terrible. You know, they've got weapons. Their quarterback just doesn't seem. You know, I think you messaged me this. Like they haven't fixed their quarterback situation literally since Peyton Manning. So it's just how long ago that was.
Yeah, they've had the likes of Brock Osweiler and Paxton Lynch, who was just a huge bust.
Yeah.
They took him super high, Paxton Lynch, and he got nothing. Obviously they drafted Drew Lock, who looked like he was in the mold of Josh Allen, where cannon of an arm, wildly inaccurate, and he hasn't been able to correct that, and you know obviously been beaten out by Teddy. Yeah, they got Teddy Bridgewater to be, I guess, that sort of calming influence there, and it's not quite working out the way I guess they'd envisioned.
No, and they're gonna have to, you know, that again. They could have taken a quarterback too, but. Who's
no, that's the right. There was multiple quarterbacks still sitting there, like we said last week. Not to say that Pat Surtain isn't great.
No. Look,
and the other thing that's sort of, and I think everybody's, well, not everybody, but I think a lot of people have forgotten about, is Bradley Chubb, who just can't seem to stay healthy. And, you know, they have him there. There's a succession plan there defensively, but you've got to be able to put points on the board.
Speaking of points, your Saints put points on the board against the Bucs. Even with your starting quarterback Jameis Winston going down in this game, 36-27.
That was an ugly injury as well. Like it just sort of come off a they call it a horse collar tackle, but he didn't really grab the top of the jersey, like underneath the helmet. it's sort of, he actually had a, you know, a fistful of shoulder pad, and reefed him down as Jameis Winston was trying to sort of scramble out of the pocket. And as his legs, he's a little bit gangly anyway. Yeah. And he was using his legs great in this game. He had, and I don't know why, he had that Bucs defense looking for the long shot, and especially not so much like their linebackers, not so much, but their corners and their safeties had their backs turned to Jameis Winston a lot. And yeah, as the field started to spread out a little bit, he started to use his legs great. And then that happened, and it didn't look great. And it's now sort of come out that it's an ACL, and his season is now over. And it's definitely looking like this is going to be all on the shoulders of Trevor Siemian.
Or what about Taysom Hill?
I hope Taysom Hill, and you take away his effectiveness and what makes the Saints offense unique, because you have him out there for every play, and I don't think it's the right idea to start, especially if they genuinely think they can be a playoff contender.
I do. They have to be at 5-2. They might win the division, but they'll definitely be a wild card spot. I think they will be. You don't think so?
Look, really, they're only a game out, like behind the Bucs. And look, while Trevor Siemian didn't light the house on fire offensively, did what he needed to do. I like how they used Deontay Harris in this, and Tre'Quan Smith as well, who's only just come back off the IR the last couple of weeks. The more explosive plays and the bigger plays all came from Tom Brady, but that, once again, if they can't establish the run, that the Saints stuffed Tampa's run offense again, which is what they're sort of hanging their hat on at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? That's why I couldn't work out why they turned their back and then literally let Kamara to his own devices. That's what I couldn't work out.
Oh, that's right. It was him. Like, you know, even Mark Ingram sort of got into this game a little bit, a couple of catches and some nice yards on the ground, yeah. which was sort of pleasing to see.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, Fournette was totally inept in this game, and he's one of the best power runners that's out there at the moment, and 26 yards, like, just couldn't get anything going.
Well, they,
Godwin,
they...
and the funny thing was too is once again, it's we said it as well. It was Marshawn Lattimore versus DK Metcalf. obviously the Saints got the win, but I think DK Metcalf got the better of it. How crazy is it that Mike Evans just cannot seem to get going against Marshawn Lattimore? Marshawn Lattimore has his number. He had four targets. Like, everything went to Godwin. Everything went away from from Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore.
That you're right, but that's Marshawn Lattimore. He's that good kind of pest, if you know what I mean.
Where my boy CJ Gardner Johnson is just a serial pest.
Well, they're both serial
pests. And not in a nice way.
No, CJ Gardner Johnson's probably a terrible pest, but
he's a total pest.
Tom Brady still threw the ball out 375 yards, but he just, for some reason, in regular season, he doesn't like, it doesn't matter who's there. He trips over the Saints. He just does.
Well, he hasn't since being a Buck, he hasn't beaten the Saints in the regular season.
No.
And that's not the thing that matters. You know, he knocked the Saints out in the Super Bowl, in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that's exactly
the wins that matter.
Yeah.
But you think they can try and take something from this. Both teams, you know, Brady it was sort of a funny second half to that as well, because you know, New Orleans sort of looked to take the ascendancy into halftime. And then, you know, two touchdowns in the third quarter, and Tampa has got all the momentum. And that's really, especially against this team, you know, an overwhelming offense. And for New Orleans to sort of claw back and to play as well as they did in, you know, just I think with a little bit of poise with Simeon back there, you know, made some nice plays. You know, Kamara was as good as ever with the run, and you know, and not so much involved, you know, in the pass catching game this week, whereas the week before it was roles reversed. And the way the game basically ends is a PJ Williams pick six.
You just don't see
Brady. Not so much when he's chasing the game in that regard, but you don't see that all that often, and that was quite jarring to see. It looked like PJ Williams just had, he knew exactly where it was going, had it scouted, stepped in front of Chris Godwin, wham, and he's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't see that all that often. Yeah, with Brady throwing pick sixes, and he looked extremely disappointing because he had a really nice game. But both of his interceptions, I think, are not so much a product on him. It's just a product on how good the Saints played defensively, especially getting to Tom Brady. Like, he was sacked three times. David Onyemata, the first play from scrimmage, gets to Tom Brady. This is his first game back. So it was to start the game off like that. I think not so much the writing was on the wall, but it was the best possible start, the way the Saints could get off.
You know who else I like in your team in terms of defense, before we move on, is that Marcus Williams. I like him. I think he's a good player. He's one of their better defenders.
He is good. I will forever remember Marcus Williams' name for the Minnesota Miracle.
Okay.
Because he's the guy that all he has to do is freaking wrap up Stephon Diggs. Wrap him up. Rather than go for the bullshit play of trying to shoulder charge him, he jumps over the top, he misses him, he makes him look like a goose, and then he goes, what does he get? 57 yards. To win the game and steal that game.
His name
will be forever tattooed in my brain for that.
You're like Shaq with Steve Nash getting two MVPs. You just gotta let it go. You gotta let that go.
No.
He won't. Shaq won't let it go either. So you and Shaq have to let it go. You just have to let it go.
No. Oh, I refuse to let that go.
Yeah, clearly. Cowboys are now 6-1 after this game.
That's what hurts me so much, why the LA Rams are so good at the moment.
You still go
on. Don't get me started.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to start turning into Gus Gould. Don't start me, rabbits.
Just need to let it go. This was Cooper Rush's, he got a start with Dak being out in this game.
His first NFL start.
Yeah, good rest. He was fairly efficient. Yeah, he got sacked three times, but, you know, he found targets, you know, 24 or 40. I thought that was pretty good for, you know, again, another second-string quarterback. God, there were so many second-string quarterbacks this week.
300-plus yards for Cooper Rush is a nice little afternoon.
Yeah, no, it was good. The run game was a little bit, you know, I guess, how you doing, or didn't have to do much, but he found who he needed to. He found Amari, he found CD, and he found Cedric Wilson as well. So for me in this game, the person that stood out in this game, at least for me and the Cowboys, is their first round draft pick, Micah Parsons. He is a menace. He topped the tackle count in 11. He was able to get to Kirk Cousins once, which is pretty, you know, rare for a lot, you know, a middle sort of linebacker. And he's great. He fell to us perfectly. He's a really good player.
Well, and to say that he's quite possibly the defensive rookie of the year.
Well, it looks it's on the way to. There's no one else standing out.
They they continue with what they're doing at the moment, and not so much a shoe-in or a lock of the week, but he has been a revelation for them defensively, and he's turned that defense around. Not so much him himself, but you know the Cowboys, all they needed to be, and this is all they really needed to be last year, before Dak got hurt. And that's that just crippled the season. But that's all they need to be is just a mid-table defense, and you've got an overwhelming offense, and they're very much, you know, a favorite, I think, in the not so much in the NFC, but for the Super Bowl.
The NFC East at least is wrapped up.
The East is a wrap. Like, we're not kidding ourselves there.
I think the NFC, we'll see how that goes. There's still obviously some other great teams, you know, namely Green Bay and the Bucks. But yeah, they are well on their way. Like, and they're you know, why not? If you can rest games like this for Dak, why not do it? If you're gonna, this to me is a game that if you looked at us in the last two or three years, this game and the Pats game, they're the two that we would normally lose. And
that's right. Well, they rolled the dice, didn't they?
Yeah.
They rolled the dice in saying, look, Dak's probably not quite right. They're just like, nah, we'll give him the rest. They're on the bye. No, they're on the bye.
No, they just had the bye. He rested a full 2 weeks, which is good. That, you know what I mean?
It was the bye last week, so
they could have easily played him, because you know it is a frisky Vikings team that can scare people, let's say.
No, that's right, and you don't want to get into a track meet with them as well. Ooh. Especially with the long threats that they got, and Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. You don't want to get into a track meet.
No. You know, they were still pretty good in this game, Thielen. Well, Jefferson was a bit contained, but Thielen was found by Kirk Cousins. Jefferson even tried to throw the ball himself and got nowhere in that throw too.
That went nowhere. that was a pretty ordinary play call. And look, you know, Cooper Rush was super composed in that final drive to get the win.
Yeah, yeah. Good win, 6-1. I wouldn't have called that we were 6-1, but, you know, hopefully we can at least keep it going. The final game was the Chiefs beating the Giants. Look, they won the game, the Chiefs, but God, it was ugly. I don't know about you, but
That first quarter, both interceptions by Mahomes and Jones were disgusting.
Yeah, they were absolutely pitiful. I don't think he's injured. Teams now reading Patrick Mahomes.
Look, and I'm hearing a lot about. They don't want to play boring football, but this game basically forced them to do that, to take what the defense gave them. But look, the turf toe. And it's talked a lot about, especially in football players, that can be a really debilitating injury. And it just doesn't look like Mahomes has got that crazy elusiveness like he's had. And he was dealing with that for the back half of the season last year. And I get it. He's had all the off season and everything to sort of correct it, get it right. But he just doesn't look as comfortable in doing those, the movement out of the pocket is just not quite there. And is it recklessness or is it luckless throws that he's being picked off? Because he's lived a pretty charmed life for his first three and a half seasons that he's been out there.
I think it's been
a pretty nice little career.
I think it's pretty reckless. I don't know what you think, but I think
a lot of it is recklessness, but it's paid off for him. And now that everybody has seen those things, and they just expect it from him, and whether it was just an extremely, you know, fortunate reasons why, you know, some of those passes aren't picked off, some of those passes get to where they are. But, you know, his two top guys, especially in their losses, aren't helping him all that much.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not. They really aren't. I mean,
and look, they picked up Josh Gordon a few weeks ago, and he's just been non-existent. And you would have thought, by now, that he would have picked up the playbook, and they could sort of use him a little bit more effectively, you know, in that pass game. And it's just not happening at the moment.
No. Look, I don't know. Look, they won the game. It was an ugly kind of win for me. Daniel was effective, you know, accurate, but just got sacked too many times, three times, and then did throw one interception. But look, I don't mind Daniel Jones. Like I put him in at least this year in the top 15 quarterbacks this year, easily, of what's sort of going on currently. That's me. I just don't know if he's got anything to throw to.
No, look, they've got a bit of receiving core problem there as well. You know, the couple of guys are there out. You know, they picked up Golladay in the off season. He hasn't been there. Sterling Shepard's still there, but I think he got hurt in this game. I think he rolled an ankle in this game. So, that doesn't really help as well. Look, that's probably, and look, Saquon Barkley not being there as well, like that will absolutely hurt any team if they had him on their roster. So it seems that they sort of have a little bit of trouble establishing the run. Daniel Jones sort of, he likes to sort of get out of the pocket and rush a little bit as well, you know, planned, plays called for him in the rush, and that didn't really work in this game, which is a little, not saying a whole lot for either play calling or his ability to be able to do that, because Kansas City has just been a train wreck defensively this year. They looked they looked fairly competent in this game, but the big turning, well, not so much turning point, but the big killer play in this is once again a false start by the defense of the New York Giants, which essentially cost them the game. What do they go? They go from a fourth and long to a first and 10 with a false start. And it happened in week two against Washington.
Yeah. It was
cost them the game in that as well.
It cost them the game. Yeah. That's just poor. That's poor decision.
And the thing was too, like before that false start, the Kansas City sort of looked as good as what they had until they got to get to that fourth and long. And then even though there's still a little bit of time left, there's still, you know, after the field goal is kicked by Kansas City to put them up three, the Giants still have a chance to win this game. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the receiving core, pretty ordinary there at the Giants. Jones gets sacked back-to-back times.
Mm-hmm.
On third and long and fourth and long, couldn't even get a Hail Mary or anything, couldn't even get the pass off in that final play of the game. Yeah. You've got to do better than that.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. That's it for this week of the games. Start of the week, well, for me was Mr. Hype man Mike White. I couldn't get past the first start with 400 yards. Like, I couldn't. There's he was crazy.
Like you said, second player in NFL history with 400 yards in their first start. To me, mine is just the backups. So Mike White,
you could say that.
Cooper Rush.
Yeah, that's actually not bad. Yeah, I'd go that. Just the whole backup.
And Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, that's, I mean, it was, we were trying to find it. If anyone knew a song out there, we should have asked us, or on Facebook or Twitter or something, if anyone knows a backup song. In my head, all I kept saying was, when I heard the word backup, was all I could think of was Scary Movie and just backup
dancer. That's all I could think of, with the backup dancer.
That's all I could think of. And that's just us. We're terrible.
Your girl was getting buck wild with the backup dancer. I mean, she don't respect herself.
That's just nasty.
All I could think of was the song by Onyx, Back the F Up. And we probably couldn't couldn't put that out on the airwaves, but
probably not.
That probably would have been a little bit sort of out there.
Your dud of the week?
Arizona.
Well, I would say AJ Green. It was mine. So I could sort of put that together, but
you can't that doesn't matter. You can't lay an egg in that game against Green Bay on your home turf. I get it. It's a short turnaround, but that's a game that you absolutely have to have, and you have to dominate that game. Just in regards to like we said, the top two receivers are out for Green Bay. Robert Tonyan gets hurt, so his season's done.
Yeah.
So they're down to their third, fourth, fifth string receivers, and Aaron Rodgers just does Aaron Rodgers things. Like, I don't care that J.J. Watt isn't there for the rest of this season. They've still got Chandler Jones there. They've got a pretty solid defense, and for them to get scorched like they did if you want to be a genuine contender, that you have to beat teams like Green Bay at full strength,
D-Hop's
without two and three of their best receivers. Like, that's unacceptable.
D-Hop's been a little bit irrelevant too in the last few games. He probably needs a big game himself. He needs a big game.
What we said, for him to only get two targets, two receptions. I think it was all the twos. It was a Richie Beno. It was a 2 for 22.
Move on to some news just to finish up. Probably don't have to touch much on this, but pretty uneventful trade deadline.
What a boring ass trade deadline.
Well, the only thing that really we need to probably talk about is what stood out was the LA Rams giving up more picks for one Von Miller.
They have got no time for draft picks.
No.
The LA Rams.
I found wasn't a meme, but like their GM, I've lost his name there, but he got a cup from literally a mug from his kids.
Yeah, isn't it F them picks?
F them picks, Dad. That's awesome. You don't need those picks. Well, look, that defense is now, as fearsome as it already was, is now even more fearsome.
That's just
Jesus Christ.
Man, they are gonna be giving a lot of teams hell.
They are literally
the Rams. All they've got next year is a fifth and a seventh.
This is literally for them quarterback or bust. Super Bowl or bust. Has to be.
Like we said, there was no earth shattering deals.
Nah.
Other than this, really. I think this is a big deal.
Yeah, no, I do. I don't mind it for the Broncos either, because he had a decent sort of chunk size of a contract that comes off them. They may be slowly in.
And I think that was part of this deal as well. Is it nine mil of this deal is going to be paid by the Broncos?
Nine million, but they which isn't bad for them, because they he was on about, I think, 15-16 million a year, so it sort of skids them a little bit. I think they could slowly be on the start of a rebuild, possibly. I don't know, but then you've got a couple of weapons that you probably want to have like a win now team. I don't know what they do. The Broncos are the most perplexing team to me. But, yeah, Von Miller with Aaron Donald, you know, Jalen Ramsey, god damn, that team.
Leonard Floyd up front, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to have multiple large, scary humans getting through offensive lines and looking at opposing quarterbacks like they're a big chicken drumstick.
Scary. Other news you got there?
We'd sort of be remiss if we didn't say anything about what's happening with Calvin Ridley at the moment. Real quick that off the bat that he looks like he's not so much done for the season, but he's come out and said that he's dealing with some mental issues. He missed the game against the Dolphins in London a couple of weeks ago. played the week after and then missed this game just gone against Carolina, and has basically said that, yeah, I need to go home and deal with what's happening there. I can't quite focus on football at the moment.
I implore the move. I don't think they talk about we don't need to delve down. We haven't got time to delve the whole mental health thing down. But they don't talk about it enough, I notice, in the NFL.
The NBA has been at the forefront of these
things. NBA is definitely huge with the NBA. And that's because some players have come out. He might be the first one to, you know, I guess, to start that sort of movement. But that's fine. Like, he came out, he said, you know, and they put him on the non-football injury list, which means he'll have to miss at least 3 games for Atlanta.
3 weeks, yeah.
So, you know, that all power to him is all I could say for that.
No, that's right. And he hasn't been, it just doesn't look like he's been himself this year from what we're looking at, you know, as a football aspect. So say it's just a down year, or that's, I mean, he's having some real troubles mentally. And like you said, all power to him, sit himself down, get himself right. And to come back as mentally healthy as he can.
They end up signing just on that deadline too, just to replace him, the old vet Marvin Hall. I don't know if you remember him.
Is he a former Colt?
Former Brown and former Lion, but that was back in 2020. So that's what I mean. He's been a little bit of purgatory at the moment. So, but that's okay.
Clearly,
he's just there to you know, obviously just to help if he needs. Like, he'll probably be wide receiver 3. The wide receiver 1 there will be the tight end as well. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, the wide receiver 1 will not be a wide receiver.
No. Any other little bit of news before we finish up?
Look, I guess that, yeah, just a couple of things. OBJ not dealt before the trade deadline, I think, was a bit of a head scratcher. Rumors that are sort of coming out of the Browns is it looks like that, yeah, that his time there is absolutely over. Not getting a deal done, I'm not sure who's, not so much fault is that, or Cleveland expecting too much out of it. I know the Saints were in trying to acquire him, but they couldn't figure out a number monetarily. So I think that could be a little bit of a problem going forward, and can not so much the relationship be mended there in Cleveland for him, but surely it looks like, you know, his dad has come out and put these bogus videos out there going, oh, look at Baker, he doesn't target my son. It's just like, oh, get out of here. Like, some of the video, like the footage that he put out there, Baker Mayfield is scanning downfield and OBJ is open on like an under route, which is like 5 yards away. Like, that's not open in the NFL. Like, give me a break. You can do that with 31 other teams and disgruntled receivers that don't get the ball. There's only one football.
No one was going to pick him up on trade deadline. No one, if they work out a deal, no one will pick him up on waivers because he's owed like about $7 or $8 million, which means then the Browns will have to eat that up. Good.
It's quite high, yeah.
Great. So, yeah, some team will pick him up, but if he gets released, and that will be when he becomes a free agent. So,
well, there was a tweet that he put out there that was deleted quite quickly as well, that said maybe this shit with Baker and Cleveland just won't work after all. And then it was, subsequently deleted very quickly. So there's definitely a bit of disconnect there. We've talked about it before, how it's just not – he's just not getting – the problem is he's getting plenty of targets.
It's not as if
that they're not trying to go to him.
But like I said, I don't know how I don't think it's that. I don't think it's drawn up to go to him. I think their run game's too powerful to have to throw it all the time. And I don't know, and I'm not defending him at all, but I don't know how accurate Baker is. And when Baker does throw to him, he doesn't get that many catches himself anyway. And then when he does, he gets injured. So
no, that's right, exactly.
OBJ will probably go to a contender.
He's just not. Yeah, it's unfortunate. And what is he? 20, isn't even 30. And it's just unfortunate that he's just not the man that he used to be.
Nah. He's built around that one beautiful catch, the unbelievable catch that he did with the Giants.
And what of his first three seasons, he was 1,100 yards each of his first three seasons. You know, averaging around the between 85 and 90 catches per year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was the man. He was the man.
Yeah. Any other news? Yeah.
I guess the one more and it's quite significant. Henry Ruggs has been a very, 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 very naughty boy in Vegas.
Yeah. So I did actually forget to skip over this news. It's probably hard to skip over. He was drink driving about 270 miles per hour.
No, 156 mile an hour. So about 260
k an hour. Oh, 260 k. Sorry, the other way around. So yeah, exactly.
And I actually looked up on the Las Vegas map to see where he was supposedly doing or allegedly doing this insane speed. Oh boy, that Rainbow Boulevard is just a nice long stretch of road. Doesn't look like there's a lot of lights or anything that can stop that. It just it's tragic.
Yeah,
and not for the fact of Henry Ruggs. It's tragic for what happened.
Yeah, well, he's obviously lost control because he's like three times over the limit as it's come out. And he's
161 he blew, which is double the legal limit in Vegas because that's 0.08.
And ours is 0.05.
If he was in this country, he would have been three times over.
Yeah, exactly. And has slammed into a wall that wasn't, by the sounds of it, a very protective wall. Not it had to be anyway, which is then... hit a car that's had a lady in there with her.
Was it a 24-year-old lady in there? It's
a loaded security guard, and the security guard did go to there, but then obviously the car started to become on fire.
That's right, the car burst into flames, and I don't want to make a joke out of it, but Hollywood style, you just don't.
No.
Think of cars bursting into flames after they. Do you know what I mean? Like that's a total Hollywood thing. Yeah. That after a car accident, a car would just burst into flames like that. But
we don't need to delve
unfortunately,
into it,
but... yeah, she got trapped. She got trapped in the car because of the ridiculously high speed that this collision had occurred.
We don't need to delve too much into it. But the thing with it is, and I'm sure it also will come out later, is why the hell he didn't use what the NFL players have, which is a ride sharing app that they can use, their own specific one that they can get picked up and dropped off.
Well, you know, we had a lady friend in the car. I've got a nice flash Corvette. This is Las Vegas, you know. Let's put two and two together here.
His career is done, so that's it. His career is completely done.
His career, his life.
Life. Yeah, no, Well, that's true. His life is actually done. You're right.
There's a maximum sentence for this of 20 years in prison.
Manslaughter. So it's manslaughter, occasioning death. So of course it is. So is it no sympathy.
Reckless driving occasioning death.
No sympathy. Yeah, no sympathy.
Oh, absolutely not.
First, look, and I was to message you this. It wouldn't really shock me that, again, the Raiders will step up. And I'm not trying to make light of the situation at all, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Raiders step up again. Another thing that's going through with the Raiders and still continue what they're doing. They're winning the division.
Two tumultuous things that have happened to that club there. And, look, I guess this is... this is a byproduct of when you put a professional team with young players in Sin City.
Possibly.
It's called Sin City for a reason. I've seen it firsthand in Vegas.
If it continues to happen, yeah. But we'll just, yeah, it's hard to put it all on Vegas. I mean, you still got to put it on the person that did it, obviously. But I understand what you're saying.
No, absolutely. But there is lots and lots of stimulus in Vegas.
Of course. Of course there is.
And they have plenty of time off.
Yeah. Tragic, tragic.
It's tragic. It's so tragic.
Not the greatest way to finish, but, look, unfortunate. This happens. I'm sure there's going to be more coming out. It is Vegas as well.
This story is not over.
It is Vegas as well, so I'm sure there'll be videos coming out of what happened and everything. It's going to be, it'll be ongoing, unfortunately. But we'll continue on.
It's one of those towns where there's cameras like everywhere. So, funnily enough, I don't think there's been any witnesses that have come out just as of yet. Like you said, the security guard that was on the scene. This is as tragic as life can get.
Well, that will do it for this week's of our NFL pod. As always, our socials are Facebook and Twitter. Also, you can get our pods on Eureka or gimco.com.au, as well as is he taking the NFL one, Mr. Dan's Tips?
Darren's Tips is still busting out our NFL stuff, and our NBA stuff as well, which we'll be doing shortly. We're about, two weeks or so, nearly 2 weeks into the season, so we're due for one of them. Man, there's some juicy topics for the NBA.
That might be just as long as this pod, I think, that one.
There was quite a lot to get through. This week, especially with the trade deadline and some of the garbage that was sort of going on this week. Halloween, man, Halloween. We got Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving games over there coming up in a couple of weeks.
When it all starts. That's when you notice that things change. That's when you'll notice where teams are after Thanksgiving. That's halfway is sort of point. They go, well, this is where our team is. So
be there. That's right.
And they're always fun games too.